The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Brother Palmore. Let's go back and look at our Bible, if you will, please. Look at John chapter 4, John chapter 4, and look at verse 4 again. I want to speak this morning on God's answer for an empty life. God's answer for an empty life. John chapter 4, very interesting here in verse 4. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Now, the Bible teaches he must need, there's an urgency there, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because that was God's plan. God's plan was that he would go through Samaria. The Bible teaches in verse 5 that he went to a place of Samaria that was called Sychar. He sat there, of course, on the well. You'll see in verse 6. And it was in the heat of the day. Verse 7, the Bible says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And then, of course, these disciples are already sent away. John chapter 4, and in verse 8, they've gone in the city to buy meat. Now, here's what we understand. This woman is coming to the well, and this woman that is coming to the well, she's coming by herself. It's in the heat of the day. She's not coming when other women are coming, and the reason is that she was different than other women. She was a woman of sin. She was a woman that had been with several men, and the Bible teaches that the man that she was presently with was not yet hers also. And so you see there's some emptiness there. And so here comes this woman, and she is very, very empty. Sometimes we kind of get confused about a spiritual emptiness and a physical emptiness. Sometimes we'll look at the outwardness and we'll say, well, you know, that person is fine as we see them, because maybe they're dressed a certain way, maybe they live in a certain style of house, maybe they drive a certain style of car. And so we look at the outward depiction in which they give, and we think, boy, they've really got it all together. Matter of fact, if anybody had it all together, it would be them. They're completely satisfied. They're in complete control. But may I say, the outward appearance of a person could be very deceptive when it comes to being who that person really is. Because peace is not something always that you can see on the outside. Some people can put on a peaceful type of look. Happiness or joy is not something you always see on the outside. And so sometimes when you see somebody, just because of the way they're walking, or maybe because they're coming to a certain area of life, or maybe you see them passing by, just because they're passing by, and you look at their stature, you look at the way that they present themselves, not always are the way they're presenting themselves really true and representing who they are. Here this woman is coming to the well. She's very empty. As she comes to that well, she is searching. She's not finding what she's searching for. She's incomplete. She is absence of that which is a Savior. She is absence of that which is a relationship with her Creator God. And she comes to this place that is the well. And as she comes to this place that is the well, now Jesus Christ is going to meet her, and Jesus Christ is going to introduce her to himself in a way that only she can understand. I don't know how many times you've talked to somebody, and maybe you have to talk to this individual on one level, but you have to talk to this individual here on a different level, and maybe you have to talk to somebody else on a complete different level. It really depends on where they're coming from, depends on their background, depends on what they know, depends on where they're going, depends on the person themselves. Jesus knew that about the woman at the well. Let's notice some things in your Bible, if you would. John chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Bible says that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so here Jesus is getting ready to approach the woman at the well. And here's this woman that is at the well. And by the way, in those days, they would have no dealings with the Samaritans because they were part Jew and they were part Gentile. And the Israelites looked at that as a heritage that they wanted nothing to do with. So they would not have any type of communication with them. So it made it really unusual. Here Jesus is, he's sitting at the well, the woman comes by, and he begins to communicate with the woman. That's unusual in itself. Something else that was unusual back in those days, that men and women, unless they were related, normally just did not speak. And so when there was a woman and she was walking by and you didn't know her, she was not a relative or a friend of the family, if you would please, normally you just kind of ignored and you didn't speak to them. Here our Savior draws attention to something, draws attention to that which is the living water. Now you understand he's sitting at the well. You understand that this woman is used to coming to the well. You understand that she has a habit of every day coming to this certain place in her life. And as she comes to this certain place in her life, she's normally not given a good reception. She normally comes by herself. Nobody's there to communicate with her. Nobody's there to be able to talk to. Certainly nobody's going to talk to her. And so now she comes and it's an unusual day because this woman that comes to the well is now coming there, and now this man is going to be able to talk to her. Well, this is not just any ordinary man. This is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he introduces himself as he talks about the living water sitting on the well. The well, of course, is that which is water that is stagnant, if you will, or at least sitting still. And he begins to talk to her about the living water. A living water is like a stream. A living water is like a brook. Opposite of a well. So he begins to sit on the well and he begins to talk to her about that thirst that is not just a physical thirst, but that which is a spiritual thirst. That which is a thirst that only the living water could satisfy. Let me draw you some pictures, if I may, this morning. Statement number one, you see the woman at the well. Statement number two, you see the drinking out of the well's water, if you will. The well's water would be like drinking out of the world's well. It would be a little bit different than drinking out of a spring that was rolling down or a river that was rolling down or water that was in movement. But this is something that would have been something that was isolated. It would be something that would just be there. It would be standing by itself. It would be still. And so Jesus is comparing himself to that which is the living water. Now, by the way, there's a lot of people that try to find satisfaction other than in Jesus Christ. There's people that try and find satisfaction by putting, if you would, their bucket into the well of money. And they think if I put my bucket into the well of money, then I'll be satisfied. But it doesn't satisfy. They think that they could take their bucket and they could put their bucket into that which is the well of being prestigious, being somebody that is looked up to in society. And so they earn different type of positions in the world's eyes, but they find out that it doesn't satisfy. They try to accomplish things with no satisfaction. And if that doesn't work, many times a person would turn to drugs. They say, I'm looking for fulfillment. I'm trying to find something that will fulfill me. I've not found it in the business world. I've not found it in the educational world. I've not found it in the relationship world. And so if I've not found it in any one of these parts of the world, then maybe it just can't be found. And so what do? They go out and they find themselves some drugs and they try and get happy on their drugs. They go out and they try and find some alcohol. They develop a wrong relationship, or they develop a hobby. Maybe they try and substitute Jesus Christ with the hobby of some sport. And they go out and they start to play an individual sport. Might be through entertainment that they try to find fulfillment. It might be that they decide they want to find fulfillment through society as they begin to develop their social life. Maybe they decide that they're going to try to find fulfillment because after all, my fulfillment, I can handle myself. And so I'm going to, through myself, find some fulfillment in this, that, or the other. But may I say, only Jesus Christ can give true fulfillment. You can go down to the ocean, though the ocean be wide and the ocean be deep and the ocean be long, and you can drink of the ocean water all you want to, but you'll not come away satisfied. Because that ocean water with that saltiness will not be that which gives you fulfillment, though it's vast and though it's deep and though it is without end. When you begin to drink of that type of water, it creates more thirst. I've seen people that they go into that which is a business and they say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to make money. And they cut God out of their life. And by cutting God out of their life, oh yes, they make a lot of money and they may live in a fine type of home and drive some prestigious type of vehicle. But when you really talk to them and you really set them down and you really begin to ask them questions for them to answer, you find out that they don't have the fulfillment that they reached out in order to obtain. Isn't it amazing that the Bible talks about how this woman is coming to the well? By the way, very lonely. There's people sitting in this room today. If you were to be perfectly honest and candid with me this morning, you would have to say, I tell you what, I'm just lonely on the inside. There's people sitting here today that as you came to church, maybe you came to church because of a friend, but you also came to church because you're looking for some hope that you cannot find within. And may I say, Jesus Christ today is the only hope of glory. He's the only one that can give you that eternal joy. Oh, you don't have to throw all your money away and you don't have to go live in a dump and you don't have to drive a car that you're fearful that could make it from A to Z. You can take and have all those things, but do not deny the fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal Savior of the world, and do not deny the fact that only in Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there was a woman at the well. The Bible talks about the drinking out of that which would be likened onto eternal water or living water. Who is that? Well, it's not the water that you would find in a well. It's not the water that would be dormant. It's not the water that would be there. And Jesus is using that living water to point him to her and to give her the idea of understanding that he is the one that gives eternal life. John chapter 4 and verse 42, the Bible says, watch this. He saith unto the woman, now watch what happens here. And said unto the woman. These are the men that are in the cities. As the Bible says here, it says, now we believe not because of thy saying. So there was a time when he understood the fact of how to reach her. He understood, Jesus understood, I've got to identify with her, and he's using what she understands. He's coming down to explain it on a level that she could completely grasp as she's coming to the well to get water. And he said, let me introduce you to somebody that will give you living water and you'll never thirst again. You say, well, what happened to that woman? Well, here's what we know in this verse. The Bible says, and said unto the woman, these are the men of the city. The Bible says, now we believe not because of thy saying. So they understood that she had already believed. She had come down and she had attested to the fact that she met a man, and she kind of exaggerated, didn't she? If you'll look in your Bible in John chapter 4, she said, I met a man that told me all that I ever did. Well, Jesus did not tell her all that she ever did. He simply said, you've been living with men. The man you've got right now is not yours either. You've been living in adultery. Now, it did not say that this was all that she ever did, but she was so excited that she met the master. And by the way, you listen to me this morning. When you truly meet the master, you'll be excited about it. You'll want to tell your mom, and you'll want to tell your dad, and you'll want to tell your brother, and you'll want to tell your sister, and you'll want to tell your friends, and you'll want to tell your relatives, and you'll just not be able to keep it under your hat. Why? Because once Jesus Christ saves you, you don't want anybody to die and go to hell. You want everybody to understand that the way to go to heaven is Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he is the only way to go to heaven. Person can't go to heaven this morning because they've been baptized. Person cannot go to heaven this morning because they're a good person. Person cannot and will not go to heaven this morning because they hold out faithful to the end, or because they try and keep one of the seven sacraments or two of the Ten Commandments, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and you don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away from it. He's the only way, and if you think there's another way or an additional way other than Jesus Christ, then you'll not make it in the way of heaven. See, here's what the Bible teaches. John chapter 4 and verse 42. The Bible says, and said unto the woman, these are the men of the city, says, we believe. It says, not because of thy saying, for we have, watch what it says here, we have heard him ourselves. Now, by the way, it will never be real to you until you have heard him yourself. You can hear just like these men did that woman testify. You can hear somebody say, let me tell you how good God is. And that's wonderful. You can hear somebody say, well, let me tell you how I got saved. Wonderful. You can hear somebody give you a gospel tract and go through the gospel tract and point you to Jesus Christ, and you can hear all about that you're a sinner. As a sinner, you owe a debt. The debt that you owe is death and hell, and only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. You can hear it, but until it becomes personal, it is just words that you hear, not a relationship that you have. Here's what the Bible says. We have heard him ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night. I was an 18-year-old boy walking along in a carnival ground, and a young boy, 16 years of age, approached me and he said, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, sure, go ahead. He said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I said, sir, if anybody's going to go to heaven, I will. I don't have a filthy mouth. I've not committed any type of immoral sin. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm in the athletic department of my high school. I'm clean as a shark's tooth. And if anybody's going to go to heaven, I believe I will. And he said, well, let me show you some verses. Start showing me some verses, and he showed me I was a sinner. For all I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he showed me as a sinner, I was a sinner undone. Now, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're a church member at Parkside Baptist Church. That doesn't impress anybody. I don't care if you're a member of another Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Lutheran church or a Catholic church. Can I tell you, your religion will not get you to heaven. And he introduced me that night to Jesus Christ. I bowed my heart as a teenager, and I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that there was one Savior of the world who is Jesus Christ. My Bible says, just like yours, says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is not in a religion. Everlasting life is not in a baptism. You can get baptized to your water log and float to the top. That's not going to take you to heaven. You say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'm a good person. My Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you cannot work your way to heaven. Well, I'm being good to my neighbor. You ought to, and I'm proud of you. Well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'll tell you, I'm just a naturally good person. Well, God bless you. Thank God for you. We need more of you in this world. But that doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. I understood I was a sinner. I understood as a sinner that one day I was going to face that which was myself and my sin. And I understood by doing that I would have to die and I'd have to go to a place that was called hell. My Bible teaches me that when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he washes away that sin. My Bible teaches me that once I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, my name is written in the book of life and it's sealed onto the day of redemption. Are you listening to me? The blood of Christ is that which holds me for all eternity. And it's not simply because I'm a good person. That has nothing to do with it. It is completely opposite. It is Christ and Christ alone. Oh, here's what we understand. We understand that there's a woman at the well. We understand that she is coming to drink out of that which is the world's well, established there, and it was for monetary things, if you would please, to take care of temporary things, and Jesus is using that which she does know, which is the water, and he says, let me introduce you to the Savior of the world who is that which is living water. And by the way, there's a lot of people walking around, and here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to find out. I talked about this on Wednesday night in our Bible study, in our Bible college, also in our academy. There's a big difference between being happy and joyful. And I think for some reason we can't equate it because maybe we just don't understand it. But happiness is based on a happening. You go down to that which is the state fair and you get on a ride and you're happy because there was a happening. But you can't base the will of God on happiness. I got friends of mine today that's in Vietnam and they're in prison and they're dying for their faith. I don't think they're really happy about it. But there is a joy. And that joy is found in Jesus Christ. David, when he sinned, he went back to God and he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Now, he never lost his salvation, but he lost the joy. Somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, I'm serving Jesus Christ, but I'm not happy." Then get over it. There needs to be joy. Joy, by the way, you listen to me. Joy is something only the Holy Ghost of God can give. Happiness is what the world gives. Happiness is outward circumstances. Joy comes from within. Matter of fact, in your Bible, the Bible talks in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Listen to it. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." It says, "Against such there is no law." So God says that one of the attributes or one of the fruit of that which is the Spirit is this. There is a joy that God gives. You can only find that in God. You can't find that in anything else other than God. We said that happiness comes and it goes and it comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. You get a boyfriend, you lose a boyfriend. You get a girlfriend, you lose a girlfriend. You get a raise and you lose a raise. You get a brand new car and the brand new car breaks down. Your wife gets up to cook and she burns it. So happiness is relative to the happenings around you. But joy is that which God gives within. Why is it that some people have cancer and they're in hospital beds, but they still have joy? Why is it that some people go through the fires of life and yet they still have joy? Because joy is that which God gives. Now you understand, this woman is looking for something. She is looking for something that will be able to give her fulfillment. And when she comes to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ saves her, are you listening to me? When Jesus Christ saves her, she is meeting that which is the one that gives joy to a lost and dying world. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So God says this. He said, "I didn't come just to save you from hell." It's not all there is to it. I didn't come so that one day you could understand that you're a sinner, and as a sinner you owe a debt, and the debt you owe is death and hell, and Jesus Christ paid that debt. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are now going to be able to go to heaven because Jesus Christ is the only one that gives eternal life, and then that's it. No, he said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Now here's what the Bible says. What is that abundant life? That abundant life is dwelling in the Spirit of God, where you do understand his love and you do understand his joy and you do understand his peace and you do understand his long-suffering and you do understand his gentleness and you do understand his goodness and you do understand his faith and you do understand his meekness and his temperance and against those other things that is no law. He said, "Look, I have given you these things." Now she never understood that until she met the Savior. She lived her whole life based on happenings. "I got myself another man. I lost him. I got myself another man." This is her life. "I lost him. I got myself another man. I lost him." But come on. You say, "Well, that's not me." Okay. "Got myself a job. Lost it. Got myself a friend. Lost it. Got myself a dog, lost it. Got myself a talking bird, lost his voice." Hello? "Got myself a child, rebelled." Hello? "Got a raise, took it away. Got a nice bed, it broke." You see, this was her life. That's all she ever knew. Just up and down and up and down. She never knew the one that would give the joy to the world. She never knew him. Then all of a sudden she comes just like every other type of person in the world, and she comes all by herself, and she's empty on the inside, and she has no fulfillment, and she comes just like on a daily basis she was doing, and she comes to water, if you will, that's not moving, water that is not necessarily as refreshing as a living spring. And so she comes and she's going to do the work just like the world tries to do the work, and she puts the bucket in and she's going to do the work and bringing up the bucket and trying to work her way to a place of being fulfilled. But that's not going to be satisfaction. The only person that could give satisfaction is Christ, and Christ alone. Now here's what it says. You understand that here's that woman at the well, and she's trying to drink out of the world's well that is there. But now she's going to find that which is living water. That living water is none other than Jesus Christ. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a joy. I've been preaching for 30 years. 30 years seems like an awful long time. 30 years. I've seen Christians even do this. Are you listening to me? Christians that live for God, don't live for God. Live for God, don't live for God. Faithful, not faithful. Surrendered, not surrendered. Happy, unhappy, all based on happenings in their life. Then I've seen Christians that are totally surrendered, and here's where they are, just right here. Things not going well, still surrendered, still joy. Oh, they may not walk down the hallway. They may not be swinging on the chandeliers every time you see them. They may not be singing the praises of God and skipping as they go. They may not be. They may not be somebody that every time you come up to them, you say, how you doing? They get this big old cheesy goober type of smile. And they say, oh, God is so good. They may not. They really may not. But when you get around them, there's just a steadiness. When you get around them, it's like, you just know by the time you leave their presence, everything's going to be okay. Why? Because not only are they saved, but God is just working in them. God is just doing a work, not just in them, but through them. May I ask you something today? Do you know the Savior of the world, the one that can bring you out of your loneliness? Now, I ask you something this morning. Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? You as a believer, may I ask you something this morning? Are you walking with God so closely that you are experiencing that which is the joy of the Lord in your everyday walk in society? Are you there? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.